Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, sometimes I tend to get things a little more complicated than they need to be. I take on a project, and I tend to get distracted or not follow the instructions. And pretty soon, I make the whole thing more complicated than it needs to be. I remember working at Geyer's, an appliance store in Eau Claire. And we were working on a dryer. And I was trying to make sure I had the right bit to take apart the dryer. So I kept going back to the toolbox, getting another bit, bringing it to the dryer, trying it out. Didn't fit. Back to the toolbox, back and forth. Until my coworker says, "You know that cart is on wheels, don't you?" What he liked to say was, "Bring the mountain to Mohammed." And in a way, there's some significance to that. Rather than going back and forth, isn't there a simpler way we can do it? Do you ever find that happening in your life? Maybe not. I'm not talking about projects or work. I'm talking about spiritually. When you think about your spiritual life, does it ever seem difficult or complicated? We're going into the Lenten season, and you see somebody with ash on their forehead, and you wonder what that's all about. And then you hear somebody else talking about how they're going to give up something for Lent. And you start to think, what is this all? How does it fit together? What does it mean? And you figure it's too complicated for you. So you don't fast, you don't pray, you don't get involved in spiritual devotions in your personal life. It's not for you. Sure, it's okay for the pastor. He has been trained in theology to do these things, but not for me. Or you listen to people talk about the Bible, and they ask different questions, and they disagree on different topics. You listen to them in Bible class, and you can't understand how it all fits together, the Bible. It seems too complicated, and so you really don't read it at all for yourself. You don't go to Bible class because you're afraid you're going to say something and sound stupid, and you just don't get involved in spiritual questions at all. And now you see Jesus out in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by the devil. He's fasting. He's hungry for 40 days. And he's confronted with temptation after temptation to prove he's the Son of God. And with a few Bible passages, he overcomes the devil. And you say, "This is just too much for me. I could never do that. I could never be out there for 40 days to do what he did." And so you give it up altogether. You don't pay any attention to your spiritual life because you think it's just too complicated. Or you'll never do it right. Sometimes we imagine that being a Christian is like being Mohammed. We have to go to the mountain. We have to go to God. We have to struggle and endure and make that pilgrimage wherever God might be and whatever he wants us to do, that we need to do it and do it right. And when we realize we can't do it right, or there's something we don't know, or we feel stupid, or we don't know how to pray, we give up and we give in. We give in to temptation. We know we can't overcome it every time, and so we just give in to it altogether. We give up the struggle. And we give up on God. Give up on the idea that he can actually save us, that he can actually deliver us, that he can actually bring us his righteousness by faith. Sometimes we make things more complicated than they should be. And what Paul is laying out in our text is that it's not that complicated. God has made it simple. Now, of course, Paul has more to say than just that. In fact, he's built 10 chapters here before getting to this point to show you, yes, if you think it's all about you, if it's you think your devotional life is going to be about how good you can do it or how great you can make it, then you're under the works of the law. And he says in chapter 3, by the works of the law, no flesh will be made right but with God, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That if you imagine righteousness as something that you're going to do, you're going to accomplish, then it truly is too complicated for you. Too difficult to have that perfect love for God at all times. But Paul says God knows this. God knows how impossible it is for you to really live that devotional life, 40 days in the wilderness, a whole lifetime in this world. And so God's taken it into his hands to make it simple. In chapter 10, Paul writes, those Jews who seek God's righteousness on their own have not submitted to the righteousness of God. That there is a difference between the righteousness that comes from us and the righteousness comes from God, and God's righteousness comes in Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, the end of the law to the goal of giving us righteousness for everyone who believes. God likes to keep things simple when it comes to salvation. And Paul even shows that it's not just in the days of Jesus, not just in our days, but all the way back to the Old Testament. And he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 30. In our text, to show that the same God who brings us salvation today was bringing it to the people of Israel back then. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we read it also from our scripture reading, how Israel had journeyed through the wilderness and how God stayed with them for those 40 years, something symbolizing what Jesus would do in the wilderness. How God was with them as they were tempted, as they hungered, as they struggled through life. And God watched them fail. He saw them fail time and time again at staying dedicated to the Lord. But what does he do? Does he cast them off? No. He continues to speak to them. He continues to guide them. He continues to bring them to his goal, the promised land. And he says, this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you. It's not too far off. It's not in heaven that you should say we need to ascend to where Christ is. It's not in the depth of the sea that we need to plunge ourselves into some deep meditative experience. But the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart that you may do it. See, I've set before you today life and good and death and evil. And I command you to love the Lord your God. Walk in his ways. Keep his commandments that you may live. This is what Paul is quoting in our text. When we come to Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near to you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of God. And we tend to make things complicated. But God likes to keep things simple when it comes to salvation. What does he say? Ear, mouth, and heart. We hear it with our ear, we speak it in our mouth, we believe it in our heart. We hear his word. He's come down from heaven, and he's raised up new life. He's come down from heaven to be among us, to suffer hunger, to suffer temptation, that God's own son should even need to be tempted. And he dies for us. He comes down from heaven to accomplish salvation for you. And he's raised up from the dead to bring you new life, new righteousness, a righteousness that's from God, where in Jesus' world, the resurrection, everything is right. Everything is right with God. He lives perfectly. He doesn't suffer. He doesn't grow old. He's eternally blessed in his resurrection. And it's as simple as hearing that and believing it. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That reference to confession refers to a creed. A creed is just to say, I believe. I believe something. That's a creed. And when he says, if you confess the Lord Jesus, he's referring to a creed. Some have suggested that this is the earliest form of the Apostles' Creed that we have. The Apostles' Creed already being formed, where Christians were confessing the faith. It's in their mouth. It's in their heart. And now today, we've done the same thing. We've confessed. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and as it says on the banners, he suffered, he was crucified, he died, and he was buried. That's what we have in our mouth, on our lips. We learn it from just a young age. It's part of our liturgy. And in that, we are saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. To confess is nothing more than to say the same thing. Than to say the same thing as what God is saying. And what we're saying is, yes, Lord, you have raised your son from the dead. It's that simple. Because God makes no distinctions. You know, Muhammad was wrong when he thought the way to get to God was to make some journey to Mecca. Islam is wrong when it thinks that righteousness is about us ascending to where God is, or doing the good works that he expects out of us, meeting some standard, because God's brought the mountain to us. God makes no distinctions. The same one who is Lord over all is rich to all. That if Jesus has risen from the dead, then he is truly the Lord of all. The maker of heaven and earth, the Lord of all creation, power over death itself. There is no distinction. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. Your prayer life is really that simple. You don't have to go somewhere or do something. You just have to call on the Lord. Ask him for help. Ask him to teach you. You can be part of Bible class. Call on the Lord. The things he's saying are simple, and he will teach them to you. Call on him. Whoever does it, you don't need to be some wise and pious theologian. All you do is call on the Lord. Salvation is simple. Don't give up and don't give in. Don't give in to temptation and think that, well, I could never really do it perfectly, so I'm not going to try at all. No, that's not how it works. Call on the Lord, and he will help you. Don't give in, don't give up. And don't give up on God, because his word is that powerful. He's placed it so close to you that it would be in your heart, with you always. It's like a love letter from God. Imagine a soldier who travels to another country. He's leaving his sweetheart behind, the one he loves. And he goes off to war. Goes off to risk his life for the country he loves and for the girl he loves. And when he comes back, he's going to marry her. And now he's thousands of miles away, and all he has is a love letter. A letter she wrote him and sent to him. And there he got it. And when he gets it, it's as if she's there with him. He reads every word. He reads between the words, between the lines. He rehearses it over every night until it becomes part of him. Until he knows it words from word and he can say it himself. And it's become part of him. It's next to his heart. So he tucks it into his pocket as he goes out into the battlefield. He puts it into his pocket so that when he's in that foxhole, she's with him. God has written us a love letter. A letter from him. It tells us exactly how he feels with us, no matter how far separated. No matter how we are on the battlefield, tuck it into your pocket. Read the first commandment. Recite the creed until it becomes part of you. Word for word, those simple things we learn growing up. The commandments, the creed, the Lord's Prayer. Those are where God stays next to us, in our mouth, in our heart. So that we can call on him in every trouble, pray praise, and give thanks. Mike, my coworker, was wrong about a lot of things when it came to religion. But I think he was onto something with his reference to bringing the mountain to Mohammed. So I'm hoping that when you go home, when you take up your prayers, your fasting, your devotional life, that you'll remember God isn't so far away. He's right there with you in his word, and he'll be with you always, so that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen.